Hey y'all, it's Jaisa Lifestyle Brand. I almost had an oops podcast, but like I feel like God was like, no. I was dwelling on a past situation, and then God was like, you're giving that too much credit. Too much. And so it was so good. It was like one of them juicy posts. And this is just another like reminder for you all that it's okay. And it's all right to just move on. But I will say that I was focusing on praying for my enemies. Now, you may not think you have any enemies, but, you know, sometimes it's like pretty obvious who your enemy is. You know, anyone that did not want the best for you, did not help you to be your best, or either, you know, left you when you was going through your worst. Let's just put it like that. Or they helped put you to be your worst. I'm not saying that you're not grown enough to, like, you know, help your own self. But I really believe that we're the body of Christ. And I really believe, like, you know, God uses people, even the worst ones, to bring out the best in you. And today I'm reminded to pray for my enemies. And I encourage you to do the same. Now, today I was kind of having a moment. And I just was like, I can't believe that I am, you know, like living this life and it's not like how I wanted it to be. And so I'm like, God, help me. And then it's like, God gave me this revelation, which revelation is like a perspective. You know, he gave me a revelation to pray for my enemies. So just as quickly as I heard God say, pray for your enemies, I didn't try to like outthink my blessing. I just began to pray. And then I actually looked at the scripture. And there was more than one. There's like Matthew 5 and 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Okay? And it's like, woo, you know. Because when you're like coming into agreement with evil, what does that say about your faith? You know, because God is blameless. And let God be God and let every man be a liar. And then vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so I kind of had realized that all the things I had, you know, not that I was wishing bad on people, but all the things that I thought could happen to my enemies, it hadn't happened. So it's like, you know what I said, God, I'm going to do it your way. And so just hearing that scripture, it's like, wow, it's pretty refreshing. I also want to share Matthew 5, 43 through 45. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Then again, we have Luke 6, 27 through 28. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. What? You know, because most times when people are haters, and you know it, when they are like against you, they may prey on your Christianese, that you don't have cuss words in your arsenal. They may call you a victim. But as soon as you pop off and you stand up for yourself, then they tell you in your face that you are not a believer, you're not a Christian, but yet they are, for persecuting you, for, you know, meddling, for messing with you. And so today, that's what I was kind of talking about earlier. And each time I try to get through those podcasts, I got interrupted. And so I said, you know what, God, third time is for the Holy Spirit, you know, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. So I felt like God was leading me to not focus on what I was going to share and what I did share, because I was pretty revealing. But, you know, again, to remind you, stop focusing on who and what, because you're only making that bigger. You're magnifying it and not magnifying the Word of God. And if something is in the Word of God, and not if that, it is in the Word of God, focus on that and just give that a try. And even if it doesn't work the first time, let it work on you. You know, we can't use the Bible as like a command for others. It's for ourselves to examine ourselves, because when I do kind of get into my little pity party, you know, I'll have thoughts that I didn't even think I could think, you know, things that I've done in the past. I thought, I did that. And so there's an area that I can repent to get it right with God and not to get it right with the person who did me wrong, you know, and right meaning put them in their right place, you know. So we had to be mindful that we did not struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 6 through 12. So there's stuff that we cannot see, but yet it sees us, and we see it manifest through different ways, whether through a person, whether through a circumstance, and something that seems that it's so specific, but it is specific, because what is it that you're called to do? What is it that you are purposed to do? What is it that you're gifted to do that you ain't done yet because you've been focusing on that mess? Okay, so you need to take that mess and you need to just throw it out in the trash, you know? Forget, turn that mess into a message. You need to throw that mess in the trash because it's just in the way. It's a stumbling block. And I'm also reminded of, you know, not that this is in the scripture, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. A lot of times, those obstacles, you know, and it's like adversity, and don't focus on other people and like why their life is so easy. Why is it that I feel, you know, stop being in your feelings, because it's not no blessings up in your feelings, but God has something for you. And so by going through these obstacles, you're going to find him in ways you wasn't finding him before. Not that you hadn't found him, but he's a great big God. Okay. And then all the things you're going through and you're like, maybe you're like, wow, you know, like, this hurts. And so maybe he's pruning some stuff off of you. Maybe he's getting you a far away from the place that you have been in comfort zone. So now with your uncomfortness, now you're like, you don't know what to do, what to think. That's good. Now you're saying, God, help me. So now you're calling him and crying out to him more than you ever have done. And that, if that ain't my story, y'all, I don't know what to tell you, but that's been me for a while. And I'm in this point right now where I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm in limbo, but I'm in a place where, like, what direction do I go? You know, because I'm in the uncomfort zone, you know? And the uncomfort zone is where it's like you in a box. You know, it's just big enough where you can stay there and be sustained. Not so big enough where you can just go and wild out. And so if you're in a tiny space, whether that's a job, whether that's in a role that you're in right now, whether, you know, me, I feel like I'm in that box because I have certain days that I'm off. I have certain days that I'm available to spend, you know, a majority of time with my kids, and I'm able to get stuff done, my business. But then I work a lot. You know, I teach a couple of college courses. I also work in retail and I teach fitness. And in addition to that, I'm still an entrepreneur where I'm getting mentorship, which is amazing. I want to tell you that it is vulnerability overload, because you gotta, you know, be very transparent. You know, if you really want help, you can't just act like you got it going on. So when you're wanting help, when you're honest, people can help you when you're honest. But when you're not honest, whatever you put out, as deep or as shallow as you share, that's how much they're able to pour into you. So when you're able to, like, be empty of your excuses and empty of your shame and pride, and you move that all out the way, there's more space in you to receive what they have, you know, and to listen. You know, we've been told you have two holes to listen, but one hole to talk. So with talking, you know, have something direct and specific to say, not just anything that's just going to tickle their fancy or repeating stuff that they already know. Say something that's going to help you get a breakthrough. When you listen to them, it's going to, like, the light bulb is going to come on. It's going to unlock something that's been locked up and stored away for a long time. But back to the message at hand, I want to get back to your enemies, because the enemies are real, but remember, they are spiritual, but things only have legal access in the earth realm through physical bodies. So just think about this. Jesus prayed for his enemies. So Jesus, as beautiful and as amazing as he is, had enemies, and they crucified him. And yet, as we know, he had the ultimate victory in the end. And like, just like Christ, when you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. And you're a joint heir with Christ. So everything he has, you already have it. But because God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to die, his son did not leave the earth without praying for those who were responsible for his death. I'm like, what? And it was a terrible death. You got to watch The Passion of the Christ. That's like one of the best movies to have done the depiction of Christ, his resurrection. I mean, his crucifixion. Jesus, you know, he was able to pray for those who hurt him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know, they do not know what they are doing. That's Luke 23:24. I'm like, I had to remember that scripture. So Jesus prayed for his enemies. How can we do that? You know, we just do as he did. And it's already given to you through the word, through the Bible, the holy word, the living word. So that same word works for us as well. And it's like, there have been some situations where people that have done me wrong, I saw them in a less, you know, glamorous situation, and I didn't really feel good about it. But then it's like, we are so wishy-washy and fickle as human beings. You know, it's like, we don't need to have the same kind of reign as Christ, because we're selfish. You know, like, it's about us, and God has a bigger plan, bigger picture. So I want to just remind you that it's a thing to do. It's a word in the living word to do, a command to do. And how do we do this? And we do it because Jesus first loved us before we loved ourselves, or God loved us before we first loved ourselves. So we do it because it's a love thing. We pray and we forgive because it's a love thing. And even though maybe love has left you, love has a lot of, you know, answers to come up with to say something about what you've been dealing with. But it's hard. But how do you grow unless you have more weight? You know, like, even if you're at a gym, how do you get more muscle? That means you have to keep doing the same exercise, and then you increase the weight. So sometimes the increasing of the weight is, now you're not just saying it one time. Maybe you're doing it all day long, and you're lifting those weights repetitively. And then maybe you take it a step further, and you actually have a conversation with that enemy. Woo! You know, like, I'm like, I ain't there yet, okay? But I want to end with this, because I don't want to get too far ahead. But Lord, we just pray that instead of lusting for pure evil or for vengeance in our own strength, that we will hunger and thirst for your purity and righteousness, that you will advocate your justice and your warring spirit, you know, who you are, God, that even if it's not meant for that person to get no vengeance, but that you are the peacemaker. So any facade or anything that's a lie and deceit that we've come into agreement with, God, that we just cast it down right now, and we repent. And we pray that you would show those who didn't show us who you are. And maybe it's not through us. Maybe it's someone that looks like us, that has a similar experience, that they can see that we were just trying to be all who we can be in Christ, and they just used us as some bait, like we were a piece of cheese to a mouse, that we were an easy target because we had the light of Christ shining through us, and, you know, it seemed like too good to be true. And so they wanted to test and try the spirit of God in us. But God, that we know that we're overcome by the Lamb that was slain, and overcome by the power of our testimony. So our testimony tonight is that we are forgiving our enemies right now. We're laying it at the altar. We're not picking it back up. And yes, there's been some trauma, deep hurts in our lives that maybe have helped to show the insecurities that we have toward our enemies. But God, we right now don't just speak them to be enemies. God, we say that they're brothers in Christ, or sisters in Christ, that we even call them in, that they would get redemption, that they would be able to be a part of the best family ever, that maybe they don't have a family, God. Maybe they don't have a relationship with you because they're religious. So knowing how difficult this is to say, that's a real place. And so if you've found yourself on this same situation, and you're like, I'm tired of it, you know, because I really want to really be who I am in Christ for him, and not that someone can take my joy away and someone can take my hopes away, that we're not going to give it to them. So why should we pray for our enemies? because Jesus did. He prayed for those who were against him, for those who wanted to do evil against him, and those who ultimately hung him on the cross. And Jesus still prayed that Father God would forgive those who were part of his death, because he knew that they did not understand what they were doing. And so Jesus, he created the way for us. He prepared the way for us that we would have unconditional love. And he showed us how to pray for our enemies, that we would do the same. And prayer is an amazing, I wouldn't say a weapon, but prayer is an amazing tool. It can be a weapon as well. And it's also a privilege, because we have access to the Father 24/7. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And then when we pray for anyone, what happens is, it's pretty much like a boomerang. It's like, maybe God may not answer the way we prayed it, but God will also bless and he'll change us as a result of our obedience to pray. So even if the person may still act a dang fool, but God is tenderizing our heart that we understand how he was able to let his son forgive others who killed him, who he was just pureness in this earth for us. He was here just for us and for them too, you know, and that he could forgive. So as we're praying for those enemies, it's like God is letting us have access to see how Christ was. And this process can take away the fear, the shame, and the ugliness that we get just thinking about what we went through. But again, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have life in him, and we have it more abundantly. And in his way that he prepared for us, it's like there's so much more. But we only have access when we have the favor of God on our lives. We have access when we are denying ourselves, whether that's through fasting, through praying, and through turning the other cheek, and again, forgiving and praying for our enemies.